All right. This is Romans 12, 9 through 12, and this is the contemporary English version of the Bible. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil, and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters, and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. The second reading is from Genesis. But don't look for it in your Bible because it's not there. That old man, my husband, he said it was coming. Tsunami, flash flood, I don't know what. Total destruction, he said. Yeah, right, I said. God told him, he said. Okay. He's like that, getting older. Conjuring strange visions. But he's convinced the children. And now when I wash and I clean, I see them out there working on it, building that awful monster beast. An ark, he says. Oh, whatever. What I see is a frightful future. The land forsaken, devastated, and no people. People to care, people to help. He says, calm down, he says. God will be with us. All right, I say. Will God be with us when we hear the voices of our neighbors, our kin, crying for help from the rising, smothering waters? And when our sweet flocks turn their eyes to us, innocently asking for safety and protection? Will God be with us when we see the future of our children swallowed up with the land, the crops, our sweet, solid home? But what choice do I have? I am a woman, his wife, his chattel. What choice do I have indeed? So I will get in that monstrous beast, and I will wash, and I will cook, and I will wish that I had been left behind with the others. A quick death under the rising waters, safe from the hard scrabble future that God has planned for us. But what choice do I have? What choice? My husband, handsome when he was young, but now he's just a raving zealot who talks to God like a child with an imaginary friend. I'm done with him. I'm done with him and his God. But what choice do I have? So I will cook and I will wash inside that awful beast and I will wait for the first dusty raindrops to poison my life and signal a start in a forsaken, empty land with only him for comfort. Let us pray. Dear and loving God, we are grateful for the fact that there is always more light and truth to break forth from your holy word. Amen. Poor Mrs. Noah. She sure got the short end of the stick, didn't she? She doesn't even have a real name in the Bible. She wasn't there when God spoke to Noah. She wasn't consulted about the kitchen or the living arrangements on the ark. She wasn't given a choice about whether or not to spend those weeks on the stinking ark with all those wild animals and no television or internet. That's really terrible. All that makes 125 degree summer temperatures and giant dust storms look like a day at the beach, doesn't it? But you know, there is a tremor in the earth below our church, the tremor of disruptive change. And it's not a recent shaking either. This year we've had significant changes. We lost Jim Meadows, who has begun an interim ministry at another UCC church. We've hired a new senior pastor, wahoo! Paul Whitlock, who brought his whole family into this church. Some members have gone home to be with Jesus. Some of them were longtime members. Some were new friends. Some of our church friends have moved out of Arizona. And some we've just lost touch with. We've gained a whole new crop of new members. They have brought with them new ideas and new creativity. We hired a new custodian. We almost lost our music director, boo. We've got a new sound system, an electronic sign, a new outside banner, and removed the palm trees that were dropping things in our neighbors' pools. Well, come on, this is serious. Do not claim to be smarter than you are, Paul says in our reading today. I can't imagine who he's talking about here. Outdo each other in showing humor. Honor, Paul says. Outdo each other in showing honor, Paul says. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. And persevere in prayer. Now, the lament of Mrs. Noah is a lesson in the other direction. Let us not whine about the inevitable. Let us not snivel over other choices that are being made by others. I can't really see, so I'm sort of faking it. And this is 24-point type, too. Let us not become fearful if some members choose to leave for other churches. Let us celebrate with our new members and welcome strangers among us, as Paul advises, our Paul and St. Paul. In the Noah story, God saw a new world beginning, green shoots springing up, and animals from the ark being fruitful and abundant. Mrs. Noah saw a muddy landscape, a homeless family, and drowned and stinking corpses everywhere. God saw a rainbow of promise among the dissipating clouds. Mrs. Noah saw no career opportunities for her children, no friends on the horizon, and a boring, doddering husband who would probably be no help with raising new babies. God saw an everlasting covenant between God and every living creature that is on earth. God saw a family that could be fruitful and multiply by living in a world of abundance. Mrs. Noah saw hard work, endless struggle, and weary bones. When you look at the future, what do you see? This is more of a story about a mighty flood and a handful of people with mixed emotions and feelings about the future. This is a story about us and about how we view the world and the future. Toward the end of his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "I feel confident in you and my brothers and sisters that you yourselves are full of goodness, full of all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant to you the harmony to live with one another, he writes, in accordance with Christ Jesus, to that together you may with one voice glorify God and your Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my dear sweet mother, may she rest in peace, had a very deep faith for a loving, still speaking God. When I was a kid, she told me about what she believed for the future of the world. Mind you, this was long before the talk of global warming. She said she believed that another ice age would eventually cover the earth. She said that small bands of people would migrate in search of shelter and a safe place. They would find new things to eat so they could survive the long winter. But then, she said, after a time, the ice would begin to recede, and out of a newly cleaned land, green would begin to appear. God's unending love would begin the process of creation once again in the land, the ocean, and the skies. We would have a fresh start, a new world, a clean slate. Life would begin again, and long-buried love would spring forth. That was her vision of God's redeeming and healing love for each and every molecule of creation. There is yet more light and truth to be revealed in God's holy word. Indeed, may it be so. Amen.